Hello and welcome to Father Figures, a show about parenting with an emphasis on fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. Here is where we explore the griefs and the joys, the risks and rewards of being a dad. I'm Stephen Amaya. On this episode, we speak with Sam Stevens, a marriage and family therapist with an emphasis on fathers. He has a lot of things to say, so let's get right to it.
I'm a marriage and family therapist. I've been in practice a little over 20 years. I worked in community mental health for about 5 years, working with families. And during that time, I really enjoyed working with parents, not just with kids. And then when I became a parent myself, it really highlighted the need for people to be working with parents specifically, and especially parents of small kids. When my daughter was about one, I realized that I really wished I would have had a group for myself. And there wasn't one. There weren't new dads groups. There are all these mommy and me groups and all that. And I realized that I really wished there was a group for me. And so I figured I would just start one for other people, being a therapist and kind of having skills leading groups and all that. And so I started a free kind of drop-in group, kind of peer support model. So kind of a dad's helping other dads. It wasn't a therapy group. It was just a group to, I mean, I think initially probably the first few of them, I had some kind of agenda. And by that, I mean like teaching parent skills or whatever. And then after that, I just realized that guys just wanted to get together and talk about what it was like to be a dad of a baby, right? Of a kind of new dads. And so that was something around 15 and a half years ago, maybe something like that. And it was a bit before that that I'd started my own private practice. And I just started running this group. And over time, I became a therapist that specialized in dads. So that group ended up becoming the Portland New Fathers group. And it was, we met between every other week and monthly for, I mean, I ran it for something like 11 and a half, 12 years, something like that. A lot of experience.
Now, what would you say is the most pressing problem for new dads? You know, you've seen...
That's a complicated question. I think that it's a completely overwhelming identity shift. And I think more so for dads than for moms to become a new parent. And the reason I say that is that in our society, especially kind of North American society, dads are really, how do I want to put it? Dads really are trying to get more and more involved, but women in our society are taught to care for other people, right? You know, like oftentimes girls are playing with dolls and often boys aren't. And so, you know, girls are more often babysitters and guys are not. And so the idea of taking care of other people is a little different. When you become a parent, it's not about you anymore, right? It is the biggest identity shift that a person will ever go through. And, you know, when you move out on your own, it's about you. When you even are dating other people, it's still about you and what you want. When you have a baby, all of a sudden it's not about you anymore. It's about this little baby who literally needs you to survive.
So this, this puts pressure on men to either be really good breadwinners or to be really emotionally responsive to their kid and take a sacrifice in their job because they are so emotionally responsive and have to spend more time with them.
And well, and so that identity shift, that that shift from it being about whatever it is that you want to other people's needs is pretty profound. And it really rocks a lot of guys. So I'd say that's probably the number one thing. But, you know, you hit on something important, which is kind of traditionally in our society, dads were the protectors and the providers, and that was the primary role. But in the modern, you know, age, I guess, it's not about that as much anymore. Dads are way more involved in child rearing. With like the baby boomer generation and before, it was not uncommon for dads not to ever change diapers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
Now, it's far more normal for dads to be changing diapers. I saw a t-shirt some years ago that was great. It said, "Dads don't babysit. It's called parenting."
Yeah, that's the motto of the At Home Dad Network.
Exactly. It was one of their shirts.
Yes.
And I loved it. It was so fantastic.
Yeah, I have that on my car.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
And so the difficulty also, though, with that is that as dads start taking on roles that used to be kind of solely in women's territory, they also are opened up to a lot of the strains and stressors that used to be only considered affecting women, right?
And on top of that, I would put that they're also fighting a stereotype.
Yes.
You know, they're in their own families, you know, the people closest to them will give them a very hard time.
Oh, no question at all.
Yeah.
Especially if they're an at-home dad or make career choices that, you know, not taking a big promotion or not taking the job that maybe they travel for work or something like that because they want to be at home with their kid, they're going to miss out on promotion. They're going to miss out on advancement that kind of culturally they're supposed to want.
Yeah,
and that's true. And yet we say kids should matter and, you know, they should be the most important thing. But we say that, but we only sort of mean it societally.
Yes. And then I want to introduce another element into this discussion, and that's how much are dads prone to postpartum depression? Because if you're going through a postpartum depression as a guy and you're supposed to be supportive and you're, you know, it can affect your whole life. And
absolutely.
Yeah. How prevalent is that?
So depending on the studies you read, it's somewhere between 10 and 20% of guys. It's around 10 to 11% though, if you look at meta-analyses, these research studies that look at a really broad swath of the population and across the research, it's around, we'll call it 10 to 11%. So,
and like
also though, it is a lot. It is a lot. And it's that dads end up getting really overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's the most common thing I hear. Because I keep hearing from dads, and I've heard it a lot over the years, when is my life going to go back to normal? And they haven't come to terms with the fact that this is the new normal, right? Yeah. And so dads, you know, I hear dads say, well, if dads get postpartum depression, I thought that was just a women's thing. And women get postpartum depression at about twice the rate of men. But we don't just talk about postpartum depression either. We want to talk about postpartum anxiety, right? Those dads that are working so much because they're so worried about not being able to provide for their kids, worried about their kids' college funds, worried about having, you know, it might be just worried about having a roof over their heads.
Yeah, and there's
but
another.
It could also be.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and so it's also important to remember that a lot of the things that contribute to postpartum depression in women contribute to postpartum depression in men too.
Oh, like what?
Right? If you have a colicky baby, right, a baby who cries more than 4 hours a day is considered a colicky baby. If you have a baby that doesn't sleep through the night, my daughter didn't sleep through the night till she was 13 months old. That was brutal.
Yeah, that'll wear you down.
Yes, it turned. Well, I got depressed.
Yeah.
And it so much of that had to do with just chronic lack of sleep. Things like if your kid is having any kind of health issues, right? Maybe a stay in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, or has any kind of, you know, developmental delays or disabilities. If you have a kid that has a bunch of dietary things and or allergies, right? Yeah. These are all things that put a tremendous strain on parents.
Oh, yes, especially when they bought a ticket to Paris and they ended up in Minsk, you know?
Nicely put. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we all have this idea that it's all going to be, as you said, the trip to Paris. It's going to be bliss and happy.
Yeah.
And yet it often isn't that way, right? We don't talk about what it's like when our partner just had a baby and nearly died in labor.
Yeah.
Or what if her milk doesn't come in, or she's really struggling with breastfeeding and has cracked and bleeding nipples and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing.
It is.
And those are stresses that we don't talk about much in the lead up to having a baby.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's important, I think, is to, as a father, well, as a person, just to know what you have control over and what you don't. And accordingly, you know.
Well, that's at the heart of life in general, honestly.
Yes. Yes.
But that serenity prayer, right? Is really at the heart of that. Is how do you accept what you can't change and have the power and find the power to change the things that you want to change.
And have the wisdom to know the difference.
And the wisdom to know the difference. Right.
Yeah.
And so trying to figure that out, honestly, that's my advice to all parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you'd asked about postpartum depression in men.
Yes.
And guys do tend to show it differently than women.
Is the treatment different?
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. But
okay.
I would actually start with how they experience it, that men tend to experience depression and anxiety. And when they do, they tend to withdraw from other people and become irritable.
Yeah.
And so whenever I hear that a guy used to be really nice or really was great, but wow, he just became such a jerk, or he's so checked out, or he's not getting together with his friends, or he's not doing any of his hobbies, or he's just a jerk now. My instinct is to say, wait a minute, is he okay?
Yeah.
Not what a jerk. And he might be a jerk. I mean,
well,
that happens too.
There's a percentage.
But, yeah. But the odds are he's not okay.
Right.
And so as you said, what is the treatment? Well, the treatment, it turns out the treatment is different for every person, right? Some people find therapy is helpful. Some people find just talking to their friends is helpful. Some people want a support group, whether that's in person or online. Some people want to go take a class, right? So different things help different people. Sometimes it's a lack of knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if I just knew some very basic techniques so that I could be a more involved dad, if I learned how to swaddle my baby, or I learned how to shush my baby, or I got better at breastfeeding, or not breastfeeding, bottle feeding my baby, that I will do better, just because that basic knowledge reduces my fear and it enables me to, you know, be more engaged. But sometimes it's feeling like finding out that I'm not alone. Right? That there's nothing wrong with me, that I'm not bad because, you know, when my baby was born, the skies didn't part and the angels sing, and I had this lightning bolt moment, and I'm purely bonded with my baby, and all the knowledge of what I'm supposed to do has been imparted to me right now.
Yeah.
Life doesn't work that way. And for some people, they're lucky and they have that lightning bolt, that bond, and they feel instantly connected.
Yeah, and lucky is the word for it. You know, it depends on the people you're surrounded with, you know, the friends your parents have, all kinds of stuff goes into who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's just knowing I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me.
Right.
I didn't,
right.
Like you said, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Right? It's so easy to just feel like I'm to blame. I'm a failure as a man. I'm a failure as a father. I'm a failure as a husband.
Yeah.
And that's really unkind. And so sometimes being in a group of other men where you can look around and say, wait a minute, you felt this too?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, a stay-at-home dad of a disabled child. So consequently, I was a part of two support groups. One was a stay-at-home dad support group that met like every 2 weeks. And then one was a support group for fathers of kids with disabilities. And there could not be two more disparate groups. The stay-at-home dads group, you know, we met at a restaurant in a big booth, you know, and all those guys just lined up in the standard, you know, alpha male and lieutenants and you know, and if any one of those guys were to be offered a job that second, he would have taken it immediately.
Yep.
But the other group was guys who came, it was an evening group, guys who came after work, and, you know, they were just devastated. They didn't know what to do. Some didn't know how to talk. They needed a lot of prompting. And and I'm so proud of that group.
Yeah. You weren't in a stay-at-home dad group of dads who were stay-at-home dads by choice.
Correct.
Which is, so you have different makeups in those two groups, mm-hmm. because kind of stay-at-home dads under duress, whether it's about financial needs or employment or some other reason. Mm-hmm. That's a stay-at-home dad under duress.
Yeah.
And that feeling of being trapped, there's the societal judgment mm-hmm. and kind of emasculation.
Yes, and that's where the depression comes in.
And that is a big part of where the depression comes in.
Yeah.
And then you have the dads who do it by choice, where there's a lot of that pressure as well, and also societal confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say, I'm a stay-at-home dad because my wife makes three times as much money than me, and we have a kid with special needs, and one of us had to stay home, and it was going to be me, mm-hmm. people will understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, you got laid off from work, and you're having trouble finding work, and you're taking care of your kid. Oh, we understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll still be a judgment, but it's different.
Yeah.
But then there's the group that say, wait a minute, you're doing this by choice, right? I mean,
You have to defend yourself immediately.
Mr. Mom.
Yeah. Oh, if I had a nickel for every time I've been called Mr. Mom, I'd be rich.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm impressed if you didn't punch a number of people. And because there's so much contempt in that.
Yeah.
But if you go back and you watch that movie from the 80s with Michael Keaton,
uh-huh.
You know, he's a bumbling idiot, right? And
yes.
And he's under duress, right? He got laid off
uh-huh.
and he goes to work. And yet in the end on that one, the happy ending is he goes back to work and his wife decides to stay home.
Yeah.
And when people make the choice, the conscious choice of this is either, maybe it's about finances, but maybe the decision is also, well, what if he's better suited
yes.
for to being a parent at home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What if you like it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's very hard to like it when you go out in the world and you're the only one who looks like you.
Yes.
You live in a world full of mommies.
Well, you know, but it's shifted because
it has.
I walk, I live in Portland, and when I walk the neighborhoods, I often see a dad with a kid in a carrier or a stroller uh-huh. by himself.
Yeah.
And when I first had my kid, it was less common. And before having kids, I used to live in Alabama, and I don't think I ever saw a guy with a baby.
Right. Yeah.
Where mom wasn't, you know, next to him.
Right.
Like maybe a guy was pushing a stroller, but only because she was walking along beside carrying groceries, or he was pushing a stroller while she's carrying a kid.
He's got the wheels and she's got the load.
There you go. It does change where we, you know, depending on where you live and what culture you're in, right?
Yeah.
Those things matter.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, it shifts over time.
It does. But one of the things, you know, that is still debilitating is that there is a large enough portion of the population that still ridicules it.
You know?
And
well, and that's a shame.
It is a shame. And a person, a father, has to sort of build up a defense about it, or a sense of humor, or a clever retort, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Now, listeners to the show like stories. And
sure.
I don't want you to you know, violate any privacy or any HIPAA laws or anything, but are there any anecdotes that really come to mind of how it's done right, you know?
How it's done right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to be like, oh, what are some horror stories? But how it's done right, I like that better.
Yeah,
me too. The dads who seem to do it right, I can kind of speak as an amalgam on this one. The dads that seem to do it right are the ones that can hold on to loose expectations, right? Where they're able to take the twists and turns and respond, if not with joy, at least with acknowledging it's hard, but being able to find the joy in those moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because when we can say, oh, yeah, look at this great stuff that I'm doing with my kid, it's incredibly validating. We have a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
But also finding a way to do it where you still find your satisfaction. Right. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, it's not like being a parent, you have to push aside all of your needs and wants, right? Mm-hmm. The dad who sets up a space for their kid in their workshop where their kid can be in a bassinet in their workshop where they're actually able, not working usually with like a big sander or something and the kid breathing in all this dust or power tools while you've got a kid in a carrier. But, you know, finding ways to incorporate your kid into the things that you love to do as much as is possible.
Because then they'll see the love that you have for
it,
and it'll be an example. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's lifelong. I mean, obviously, an infant is trickier to incorporate unless you decide, you know what, I'm going to join a hiking group, and I'm going to put my kid in a carrier, and we're just going to hike with them, right? If it's I enjoy working on cars, it's, you know, having your kid in a car seat while you're working on the engine. The people that do it right, the other part is balancing your marriage. For guys who are married or have a partner and aren't kind of solo parenting due to tragedy or something like that, that when guys who focus on maintaining their marriage too, not just on being a provider and being maybe a loving parent and engaged dad, you have to take care of your marriage.
Yes.
If you don't take care of your relationship, it will wither and die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And anyone who thought that, hey, if we just have a kid, it'll make things better, don't do that.
No.
Right? No. Because anyone who thought that having no sleep and no autonomy and you know, never being able to make choices for yourself, worrying about money, lack of sex, lack of time with your partner was going to make things better in your marriage, good luck. Well, and so one thing I did learn from a parent years ago that I really appreciated was, it was kind of a helpful tip, was to have daytime dates with my wife. That having daytime dates where we would just meet for breakfast, it's been most like one day a week for breakfast. We would, once my kids started preschool, it was once they were in preschool, we would get coffee or breakfast, and then, or go for a walk and then go on with the day. I carved that out early on and I'm confident it saved my marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That focus, just that time was so helpful because in those early years, especially, it was vital to staying connected, being able to just say, how are you?
Yeah.
And when you have a baby, going out at night is not that great because you're exhausted.
Yeah, you're exhausted, and the other patrons will look at you funny.
Yep, they will. And so the thing is, you keep that going as long as you can.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just when your kid is a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that you need to grow along with your partner mm-hmm. so that you guys stay connected as parents, so that you stay in alignment where you can talk about the parenting stuff without the kid there or the kids there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you're also, sometimes it's logistics, and every once in a while it's romantic.
My wife and I make a point of going out to dinner twice a week. She goes,
oh, I love that.
She goes Tuesdays, I go Thursdays.
You know what? That's the other piece.
Yeah.
Is not just focusing on your relationship, but on your time apart.
And on yourself, you know,
yes.
alone time with yourself. That's not worry about the child, worry about
that's
the
right.
marriage, worry about the work. It's just you and being alive. Yeah.
Yes. In whatever that is.
Yeah.
And it could be that it's going out with your friends. It could be going and taking a martial arts class or learn to paint
mm-hmm.
Or just going and sitting in a park.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Yeah. Or reading.
It
How many guys don't read anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and anything that you can do, because we have to be creative. And, you know, that is kind of when I was talking about loose expectations. Finances get tougher mm-hmm. a lot of times when we have kids, especially if one parent isn't working,
yeah.
where you have to make choices that may not be what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
being a parent is so hard on so many levels. I mean, I specialize in new dads and parents uh-huh. with small kids,
uh-huh.
but I've worked with dads that were in their 70s
yeah.
struggling with how to help or deal with their kid.
Yeah.
So it doesn't ever stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, it changes. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sam Stevens, I want to thank you for being on Father Figures. It's been a real pleasure having you on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I want to thank Jason Shaw of Audionautics.com for the music and Cece Blanca for production assistance. And of course, thanks again to Sam Stevens for his participation. I must also thank Angie Fitzpatrick of Baby Blues Connection, a nonprofit focusing on postpartum issues. They provide free peer support, resources, and hope for parents struggling with positive mental health after welcoming a child into their lives. Angie has been a wonderful resource. If you'd like to get in touch with me, please send along an email to RadioRanchero@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, the days may be long, but the years are short.